Curling fans, you've come to the one place with everything you need involving USA Curling and more. It's the Extra Extra In podcast with the 12th In Sports Network and hosts Price Atkinson and Joe Calabrese. Get ready for everything you need to know, news, interviews, points of view, and club spotlights. Anything involving USA Curling can be found here. It's the Extra Extra In podcast with the 12th In Sports Network. Now, here are Price and Joe.
All right, here we go. Welcome into Episode 9 of the Extra Extra Podcast with the 12th In Sports Network. I'm Price Atkinson, and I will be flying solo this week as Joe Calabrese, the godfather himself, is out curling. He is playing in a prep event, getting ready for their play down. So good luck to the godfather. We got some stuff to bring you here. It's going to be a little bit of a shortened show today, as I will open it up and close it and do it solo style. But what we've got coming up today on this edition, this week's podcast of the 12th In Sports Network's The Extra Extra In, Don Pichet in our segment, You Can't Refuse, from the Traverse City Curling Club out of Michigan. We'll bring you that conversation as the Godfather caught up with Don Pichet from the Traverse City Curling Club in the segment You Can't Refuse. But in the next segment, Rod Paulson with in-house strategies, and he is with the Continental Cup working on things from the marketing side of things, getting ready for the Continental Cup next month in Las Vegas, Nevada, hosted by the Orleans Arena and Casino. So bring you everything you want to know and what's going on around the Continental Cup coming up in that next segment with Rod Paulson. Enjoyed talking with him a little bit earlier in the week. But as I said, we've got a little bit to get to here and some housekeeping before we do get to our guest. Over the weekend, the Curl Misabi Classic, and, you know, we'll get to the results in a second, but obviously I know what everybody was talking about. Team Jared Allen, Team All-Pro, playing with them this weekend. Jared Allen and Mark Bulger, the former NFLers themselves, John Benton and Hunter Clausen, playing with those guys, and because I believe the other two stayed back in Nashville because it was Tennessee Titans alumni weekend, so Keith Bullock and their other in their lead did not play. But Jared Allen, the former Viking, was there. Mark Bulger, the former NFL quarterback, in the house. I heard it was an absolute zoo at Curl Misabi the first night, on Friday night, when Allen and those guys played Schuster, that Schuster and them won quite handily. But as I talked with John Benton a little bit, he said he was really pleasantly surprised. They didn't win a game, but came away maybe a little bit further advanced than he thought. So I know there's a lot of opinions on those guys playing the Team All-Pro when it comes down to, well, you know, some of the old guards saying, well, how dare they think they can make the Olympics and come just do this in 4 years? I get that side of things. I also get the side where a lot of people are excited because this brings just more added attention to the sport, which honestly, I think that's something that we just continue to need. I think more exposure, more attention, especially in the media, I think that is a good thing. I think what Team Schuster, obviously, and everything that's gone on the international and national level has been outstanding. But I think that, hey, I'm a free market guy. And this is where I kind of come down. If you want to try and make it, try it. Give it a shot. It's a free country. That's what makes this, one of the things that makes this country great. You want to go out and try something? You want to go, you got an idea that you could make money on it? Go for it. Free market society, I am all about it. So, and if those guys can somehow find a way, I got no problem with that. That is awesome, outstanding, and that just shows what great athletes they are. If they could somehow pull that off. Do I see it happening? No, I do not. But I think it would be neat to see potentially in a couple of years maybe make the Nationals. That would be a neat opportunity. I think probably realistically maybe, if we want me to be candid, I think maybe it might be something of where Jared Allen plays lead or second and gets really good at sweeping with that size and, you know, ends up joining on to, you know, a team a lot like who he was playing with, maybe John Benton, Hunter Clausen, somebody else. I think that's probably, at least in the near term, a lot more realistic. But, hey, what do I know? That's just my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. But sticking to it, let's stick to the Kirill Mesabi and what happened there, and want to send out congratulations to Krista McCarville, the champion on the women's side. Jamie Sinclair, she makes the semis, lost to Laurie St. George's. And then also on the women's side, we had Nina Roth and Corey Christensen, also from the U.S. side of things. They made the quarterfinals. So congratulations to Krista McCarville, winning out and getting some decent points there from the Kirill Mesabi Classic Championship there in Eveleth over the weekend. I know Coach Phil Drobnik was ecstatic with how everything went. On the men's side of things, you had Richie Ruinen, Team Persinger. Those guys get a win over Mark Finner. And Corey Dropkin and crew. I know Sean Rajeski was in the lineup this weekend since Tom Howell could not make it. But congratulations to Richie Ruinen, Greg Persinger, Phil Tilker, and Colin Huffman for their win at the Kirill Mesabi. On the men's side of things, in terms of the playoffs, John Schuster, Mark Fenner, Scotty Dunham, Jason Smith. Smitty had his team together. Smitty and them lost to Richie. Scott Dunham lost to, they lost in the quarters, and Schuster lost to Diello. So it was Fenner winning in the semis, Ruinen winning in the semis, and it was a solid win for Richie there in the final. So once again, congratulations to those guys. I know frustration probably for Team Fenner, Corey, and everybody. I think that now, if I've got my count right, their fourth final that they've made this season on tour and have come up short. So just keep at it, guys. You don't want to peak too early, but I know you do want to get a win. So that was really the big story there at Kirill Mesabi and what happened over the weekend. And, boy, we got a whole lot going on in terms of curling this week. We'll get to that here in a few minutes. But I'll close up shop with that. What's ahead, as there is a ton going on. But coming up in the next segment, my interview with Rod Paulson with the Continental Cup out Las Vegas. You want to hear what he has to say about the upcoming event, tickets, all kinds of things related to just that spectacle. If you were there in April for the Men's World Championships like I was, boy, that curling oasis in Las Vegas, it was hot. And if you're going back, it's going to be a lot more of the same. So coming up, Rod Paulson from the Continental Cup in Las Vegas. And then the segment you can't refuse, the Godfather himself, talks with Don Pichet with the Traverse City Curling Club. And I'll be back to wrap it up here on the Extraction Podcast with the 12th Bend Sports Network. Extraction Podcast with the 12th Bend Sports Network. Continuing here, Bryce Atkinson again. Appreciate everybody listening and joined this week with our featured guest interview going out to Winnipeg, Manitoba. Rod Paulson, north of the border, president of In-House Strategies, working directly with the Continental Cup in Las Vegas on the marketing PR side of things, getting ready for the event coming back to the United States. That will be in Las Vegas, Nevada, January the 17th through the 20th, the 2019 World Financial Group Continental Cup. And Rod, I know it's a busy time getting ready because it's only a little bit of, a month away. But first of all, just welcome back into the podcast. It's great to have you back on, friend.
Thanks very much, Bryce. It's nice to be back with you.
Yeah, so as we're getting ready, you guys are, I know, pressing the flesh, getting ticket packages out in front of everybody. We're going to get into everything about this Continental Cup coming up in Las Vegas in mid-January. But look, you and I were talking a little bit earlier. If anybody had the opportunity to go to the World Championship, and I know a lot of our listeners right now did, back the Men's Worlds in April at the Orleans Casino and Arena, that was an experience unlike any other. I still go back and probably look at some photos once every couple weeks just to kind of pinch myself. Man, did that really happen with the pool patch, being able to walk right across basically a parking lot into the Orleans Arena? That was the most incredible curling experience that I've ever had the chance to be a part of. Wow, what an event.
Yeah, it was pretty magical for sure. It was everything that I ever imagined that potentially a Las Vegas curling event could be. We certainly had the weather going for us. We had an incredible field of athletes. We had thousands of rabid, very knowledgeable, diehard curling fans, as well as a really good sprinkling of local fans. When I say local, people who either lived in the Las Vegas area or were able to make the drive from a not far away, who were there to experience curling for the first time. So it it really was an incredible mix of everything that contributed to an event that will certainly go down in history as one of the most interesting and fun ever.
Yeah, certainly the upcoming Worlds, the men's Worlds, it will have a whole lot to live up to this next spring. But I thanked you last year, and it was the opportunity to get to do this podcast on the stage in front of everybody there at the pool patch. Thanks to you and Stu and everybody that made that possible. Because from my standpoint, getting able to do this podcast live for the first time before a live audience, that was something unique to itself, and I know it was something that everybody enjoyed, and all our listeners really got to enjoy, especially as we got to record the Q&A with Schuster and company, especially coming out of that magical run. I mean, just what an opportunity all around.
Yeah, it was great. The pool patch was kind of like the crowning glory for sure. I remember we were having discussions in the time leading up to the event, and you have to understand that an event like that, I was on board a full 18 months beforehand to get the ball rolling as far as the initial ticket sales. And so in the months leading up, there was some discussion about, the feasibility of actually having the patch. And I guess for the benefit of your listeners who may not be familiar with that terminology, the patch is the name that was attached to the social circle, the social gathering place at curling events back in Canada, going back to the 1980s. That's when the word patch became, it was developed, and it has carried on through the years. So anyway, the patch is where people go to wet their whistle following every draw. So the fact that we were able to get it into the pool area, which was, like I said, it was a little bit of arm twisting required along the way, because that took a bit more planning and work than just going into a typical, banquet room in the hotel.
Yep.
There were some logistics to be dealt with, some challenges in terms of how to make that happen. Well, the Orleans Arena and hotel staff are very, very skilled in terms of how to deliver hospitality. They worked with us. We were able to put the pool patch together, and man, it was something to behold for sure.
Well, whatever arms you twisted, I speak for thousands of people that say thank you for twisting those, because having the pool patch out there, the pool, the stage, music, fun, buckets of beer being passed around everywhere, families getting to enjoy the time, the athletes coming right out of, whether it be from the venue, back to the hotel, getting to stop in between. I mean, look, that was just, oh man, priceless. But, as we get ready for this Continental Cup, as we're talking with Rod Paulson, president of In-House Strategies, working directly with John and the entire Continental Cup team. Rod, the difference to get the opportunity to watch curling live as opposed to watching it on television. And so many of our U.S. audience, watches Curling Night in America, the Olympics, but it's one of those things where you got to go and you got to experience it up close and personal, because that's when you really feel the uniqueness and the specialness of the game itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we came up with the brand a few years ago back in Canada, simply three words, live it live.
Yep.
Because there is just such a big difference. Starting with the fact that, when you're at home, you're pretty much isolated to watching one game, which is fine. And it's exciting. Yep. And it's wonderful. And you get the benefit of replays and slow motion and close ups and all. And of course, the commentary from the commentators who really know their stuff. But when you get to the live arena, all of a sudden, the first thing that hits you right in the face is, wow, there's three games going on here at one time. And if you're a novice fan, it's almost intimidating at first to try and keep track of what's going on in all three sheets. I mean, you can say that curling is a fairly slow game, But man, there's three games going on in front of you, and they each have their own little strategy and story that's unfolding before your eyes. So to try and actually keep track of what's going on all three sheets at one time is something that you it's a skill you have to develop over the course of time. So there's that. Then curling fans themselves are incredibly easygoing. And they just, you know, tend to have a great time with each other. Even if there's total strangers, they just have a great time communicating with each other during the game. Because in this sport, you have the ability to do that. And the other thing is you get to see the interaction between the players in terms of what they're saying to each other. Because while it's highly competitive, they are also, for the most part, these players are they're pretty good friends. And so they have a deep appreciation for each other's skill level. And you can see that there is a mutual admiration society unfolding. But there's also a huge competitive atmosphere that's there. And then I think the real fun part of it is there's the ability, the relationship that exists between the elite curlers and the fans is really something else too. Mm-hmm. And it's not unusual to see one of the athletes actually responding or communicating with fans who are talking to them or about them during the match going on. So it's totally unique. There's no other sport like it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, you know, if you want more information, again, LasVegasCurling.rocks. Check them out. Give them a follow on Twitter at LVCurlingRocks and give them a like on Facebook, Las Vegas Curling Rocks. Many ways to stay in touch with everything because they are all over it. Information, ticket packages, so much more being sent out every single week that you can check out right there, LasVegasCurling.rocks. And, you know, as a quote I read from event manager, one of your colleagues, John Killeran, who, you know, helps spearhead and put on the World Men's Championship last April. And something he said the other day, quote, "We pride ourselves in giving the curling fan an experience that is unlike everywhere else they travel," end quote. And, you know, just to tee it up for you, the curling oasis it is, what makes Vegas just so unique and such a unique curling destination for fans?
Well, there's just so much there besides the curling, right? So the majority of the fans who are traveling from afar, mm-hmm. They are live curling event veterans. Mm-hmm. They are superstars in their own right, many of them, in terms of how many events they've been to. It really is mind-boggling when you sit and talk to some of these people and understand how many events they've been to in, you know, clear across the country and the world. Lots of these fans travel to world championships in Europe, et cetera, as well. So they know their stuff. They know their curling. But they also knew that, you know, going back to 2013, as we began our marketing for the first curling event in Vegas, the 2014 Continental Cup, as soon as they heard that, they knew this is where they wanted to go because they already knew what else Vegas mm-hmm. has to offer. So the thing was absolute, you know, incredible success right from the get-go. People were scrambling for tickets immediately. The rooms at the hotel sold out very quickly. So the reason is, you know, there's so much else to do before and after games. And honestly, I think what continued to make it sell after the inaugural event in 2014 was when people went home and told their friends about what they experienced in that curling arena, because I'm telling you, I've been to 50 events myself, I'm sure, over the years. Mm-hmm. I've never seen curling fans have so much fun in a curling arena before. They were just giddy.
Yeah.
It was just incredible. They just couldn't, they couldn't get into the arena fast enough and then honestly get out of there fast enough to either get to the patch or to get on their way to a golf game or just down to the strip to do something or go out to eat or whatever, go sightseeing, do the canyons, do the Grand Canyon. You know, the options are endless, and people took full advantage of it, and they will continue to do that.
So for people unfamiliar with the format, Team North America, Canada and the United States versus Team World, and, you know, what a lineup you've got of teams and players that are going to be, you know, at this event. I mean, Team North America alone, you got Team Schuster, the reigning gold medalist, Jamie Sinclair going to represent the United States, and then you got Jennifer Jones. She's got some hard word to her name, certainly Rachel Homan, Kevin Kevin Cooey, Brad Gushue. I mean, the biggest, the brightest, the best north of the border up there with you guys in Canada. And then you look at Team World, Nicholas Sedin wins a silver medal, Anna Hasselberg, the reigning 2018 Olympic gold medalist. I mean, the names go on. Bruce Mowat, who just won the men's, the European curling championship over in Estonia. Eve Muirhead, Silvana Tirinzoni. I mean, look, the names go on and on. I mean, this is an all-star, star-studded lineup.
Oh, it absolutely is. This is the creme de la creme, and you know, and you never like to say, "Well, this is the best ever." But man, if it isn't, it's awfully close in terms of the level of the talent that's going to be on the ice in Vegas in January. So you know, the fans are going to be treated to incredible curling, and the fact that the Continental Cup is so different, again, for fans who have never maybe gone and seen the Continental Cup live, the best description I have is it's like the Ryder Cup on ice. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's North America versus the rest of the curling world. The event offers four different disciplines in terms of the curling that goes on. There's the traditional team games. There's skins games. There's the, you know, the all new, I shouldn't say all new, but the new and very growing in popularity mixed doubles. Mm-hmm. Discipline, of course, was really came into the forefront during the Olympics. And something new called the team scramble, which is going to be really incredible. It's going to add a whole new wrinkle to Continental Cup. It's going to feature players from all teams just put together into a four person unit. Playing again the traditional team style, but it's going to be all mixed up is the best way to describe it, and it's just going to add a whole other flavor to an event that is already known as kind of the quirkiest, most fun and interesting event to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. As we begin wrapping up with Rod Paulson, president of In-House Strategies, working with the team at the Continental Cup, John Killoran, the CEO event manager, just cannot wait for this event next month. It will be here before we know it because everybody knows how quickly the holidays fly. And something that's flying off some of the proverbial shelves is the tickets, right, Rod? Because so many great tickets.
Speaking of holidays,
yeah.
We have a special offer that we call put some rocks in your socks, and quite honestly, it just means you know, for the people who have curling fans on their list, and we know that those lists are becoming more and more popular now. If the ones that involve people who enjoy curling and watching curling, so if you have some people on your list who enjoy curling, get them some curling tickets for the Continental Cup. We've got them priced from just $20 for individual draws, and then of course right up to the full event packages, or just the closing weekend package. So all kinds of options, you know, it's something that if they've never experienced before or only experienced at home watching on television, it's a whole new deal when you live it live.
Yeah, it certainly is, and I'd recommend anybody thinking about it to pull the trigger and do it, and especially treat yourself and stay right there at the Orleans Casino, because the opportunity where you just wake up, roll out of bed, roll down the casino if you want to gamble, then you just walk straight through the pool patch and over to – it is about as easy, as convenient as you can possibly get just staying right there on site, Rod. So I encourage everybody to check it out online, lasvegascurling.rocks. I believe volunteers. You guys still looking for volunteers for the event?
You know what? I think we're pretty much good in that department. I have made a note here, and I will look into it, and I can also always get that information to you. But I think we're pretty good on the volunteer front. But man, we got room for more fans, and we'd love to have them.
The schedule, tickets, sponsors, news. Get on, sign up for the mailing list, media news articles, a video, anything you need about this Continental Cup, the 2019 World Financial Group Continental Cup, January 17th through the 20th, 2019. At the Orleans Arena in Las Vegas. Check it out online, lasvegascurling.rocks. Rod, it's been a pleasure to have you back on. I'm hoping I'll see you real, real soon, my friend.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
I'm going to make him an offer again with you.
Hello, once again, it's Joe Calabrese with a segment you can't refuse. It's a segment where we talk about curling clubs all over the United States, and I've got a great guest for us this episode, Don Pichet from the TC Curling Club. Don, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here, Joe.
Don, you're a founder of the TC Curling Club, and you're on the operations board for the club. Tell us a little bit about the club. Where are you guys located? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, we're in Traverse City, Michigan. So if you hold your left hand up in front of you right now, and with the back of your hand facing you, put your finger in between your ring finger and your pinky finger in that little crevice in there. That's where Traverse City is.
Very good. So it's sort of upper western Michigan. Is that the way to describe
it? Yeah, northwest Michigan.
What do they call that? Not in
the upper peninsula.
Upper peninsula, yeah, but in the main part of the glove, so to speak. Great. So tell me a little bit about the club. You've got you've only been around for about 4 years. Tell us a little bit about the history.
Well, a little bit about the history of the club. I've kind of been a rink rat, four boys in the hockey rink for in the neighborhood of 16 years, and I coached and refereed. But every year when the Olympics would come around, we'd watch curling in the Olympics, and I got to know the staff there pretty well, and said, hey, what if we try curling? So the Olympics 12 years ago, now why would we do that? We have hockey kids all over, you'd come in at 1 o'clock in the morning. And 4 years later, I'd ask again and started kind of talking to people about it. And so in the Olympics, 5 years ago, I mentioned, hey, what if we try curling? And the executive director said, well, what do you have in mind? Now, mind you, Joe, I don't know diddly squat about curling. I wouldn't even suggest that I know much more now, 5 years later. But I didn't have an idea. I said, well, give me a couple of days. So I called all the clubs in the state of Michigan. And I said, look, what if we had an open house, like a demo day here in Traverse City? Would you throw a couple of members up here? And we're going to do a day in April. Can we do that? And, 60 people showed up from the clubs in the state of Michigan for an open house that we had here in April of 2014. And we had 500 people at that open house. And that's how we started.
Wow, that's a pretty good number right there. And you've grown. I mean, it sounds, doing my research, it sounds like you have a little bit over 140 members and you're curling about four nights a week. Tell us a little bit about how the evolution of that has gone.
You know, to be honest with you, part of the part of what worked is I had a relationship with the arena and the people at the arena for a long enough period of time that they kind of trusted me. And so when we did is we put it by this time, they said, okay, you're going to have a date in April. You figure it out. I'd collected a few people, my sister, who's now currently the president of the club, a few other friends of mine to kind of organize this thing. We put a thing in the paper that said, hey, we're thinking about starting a curling club. We need some volunteer help for a curling club open house. And we had this meeting in February, Tuesday night at the hockey arena. And we're setting up chairs for this thing. We thought, I'll set up 10 or 15 chairs. Well, 60 people showed up. The next morning, I got a call from the executive director of the facility. And he said, hey, if you got 60 people showing up to volunteer, you're going to have a bunch of people. What are you going to do after the open house? And I said, I have no idea. Well, you're going to need those rocks and you're going to need those starting block things and you're going to need some of those brush things or whatever those are. And we're going to have to paint this. What if we bought all that stuff for you? And we sat down and, to make a long story short, they funded all the equipment for us so that we would be there.
No kidding. And, wow.
We kind of agreed that, we think we have a pretty good group of people to start. The U.S. The World Curling Federation rock program. We got three sets of rocks. So the week after the open house, we started having learn to curl classes. One of the girls that showed up was curled in Saskatchewan for 20 years and curled in college, and she became our all time teacher. And we were off and running.
Boy, that sounds really interesting. I mean, it's not too dissimilar, I guess, from a hockey rink's perspective of buying the nets and at pucks or anything that you might need for a hockey league. I mean, they're just some staples that you need to get curling going.
And when they found out that USA Curling had this program where, you basically, it's a zero interest, 5 years. okay, and if you can't make the nut, then you know, you paid for the shipping and, you know, no harm, no foul. And they thought, oh, we'll take a five-year risk. Well, in about a week, we'll pay off those first three sets.
Wow, that's pretty terrific. So you're going into your fifth year and going strong. So what one thing would you want to tell somebody who is starting a club of their own from your experience?
You know, done this for a few years here now, and I've watched clubs starting, kind of clubs in our area. And as a matter of fact, just had a 2-hour meeting with a guy from a town on the other side of the state. And I think the thing that allowed us to go in an arena setting was the fact that we started with three sheets. When you have 24 people on the ice, there's a certain amount of energy that's created when 24 people show up together every week. You know, when there's 8 people that show up or 16 people show up and they got to move all those damn rocks onto the ice and then they got to get them off and they got to sweep and they got to pebble, it's a hell of a lot of work before you even get to play. But we had enough people from the get-go where, you know, there were many hands and it made light work to start with. So, you know, I guess if I were to tell, and that's what I told this fella today, start out with three sheets so you got momentum and you got energy. And you know what? If you're going to broom stack before you go out to the arena, which we broom stack before we go because we don't get done till 10:30 at night, you know, you're showing up with more than two people. You know, you're making an impact in the community. I think the other thing that we knew, we recognized right away, was that curling, the game is second to the community that's created. When those 60 volunteers came up for that open house in April from Detroit, I didn't know a single soul. By the end of that weekend, they were my best friends, and they continue to be great friends. And the community in curling trumps the game. And when we mix it up and we put the game in front of the community, I think it makes it harder to grow.
That's an interesting perspective. Yeah, that's great advice, I think, for somebody who's thinking about starting a club. And you talked a little bit about, you know, attracting curlers to your club using some paid advertising, I'm assuming, in the newspaper. Are you doing anything else to try to attract new people to the club?
We've never paid for any. I mean, the only thing we paid for is a boost on our Facebook once in a while. So we just did I will say this, that when we, before this open, I mean, there's not a service club in this town that I didn't go and talk to about curling. And I found out, you know, after doing a couple of club talks that, you know, I started out the talk with how many people have watched curling on the TV, and there's some sheepish hands go up. And then, you know, then it's like, okay, let's be honest with one another. How many people have really watched curling? And 90% of the hands go up. I mean, they're closet curlers. They're closet fans. And they, you know, they got to come out of the closet. And once, it was so fun that once they put their hands up and they looked at the table with the 8 other people sitting there and they go, oh, crap, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one doing this, watching this curl. I don't know what the hell is going on, but I'm watching it. And they realize that so is their neighbor. And so is the guy they work with. And so is the guy down the street. And so is the pastor at their church. You know, it became kind of okay to talk about it. And so, you know, getting out in the, I mean, it's really about building community. At least that's what it was in Traverse City, Michigan. And, you know, the reality is for most of us in the United States, we don't know a damn thing about curling, but we know about community. And so if we can get them addicted to a little community and get them, you know, drawn in by community, the curling part takes care of itself. It's a great game.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned service clubs. And when I lived in Wisconsin, I was a part of Rotary in my community. And they have a curling world championship for Rotary. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yes, they do.
And participate in the playdown for that, which was kind of fun. And
nice.
But I don't think a lot of people, you know, kind of know that. And, you know, it's certainly not something that's really talked about here in Rochester, New York. But, you know,
Joe, somebody needs to talk about it in Rochester, New York.
I guess so. I guess I'm doing that right now. But, you know, you're right. I mean, the community that's in those service clubs is sort of the same type of community that you can find in a curling club. And it's so nice to know that that's one of the ways that you've kind of been attracting people to your new community. That's pretty terrific. Let's talk a little bit about your business model for a second. And I find it a little interesting only because when you're in an arena club, you probably have to do things a little bit differently. You know, here in Rochester, we own our facility and we're able to do groups and bring groups in and charge them money. And then that helps us fund our projects. But I noticed that you do something a little bit different with your leagues and your club. You have significant sponsors.
Okay. Well, you know, we've got a good group of sponsors. Some of them are curlers, Dr. Saria, orthodontist, Murphy Chiropractic, a couple of chiropractors that curl with us. The Townsend family, a family that a husband and wife team that sponsors for us. We've got one of our sponsors takes care of our water, does DI water for us, McArdle Culligan. Another family that curls, they have a podcast, a marriage family business podcast. And then our bread and butter of our sponsors are our brew pubs. We have three breweries that are local in town, the Right Brain Brewery, Monkey Fist Brewery, and the Filling Station. And they're kind of our sites for broom stacking. We broom stack before we play. And so every curling night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're going to see our curlers at those places.
Well, that sounds terrific. It's a nice model to have where you can actually – you know, build some sponsors around your leagues and clubs. It's nice that some of your curlers have chipped in and made that happen for you. Tell me a little bit about any spiels or events that you might have coming up.
Well, we have one bond spiel. You know, it's kind of funny you ask that because when we got done with that open house, we had a bit of a breaking of bread with some of the volunteers, and they all asked, when are you going to have a bond spiel? And I didn't even know what that word meant. And so they explained the whole thing. And, you know, a couple of weeks later, we said, well, now, mind you, this is in the end of April of 2014. So in April of 2015, after our first season, full season, we had the first ever cherry bomb spiel. And we hold that in the late April every year. We have 32 teams. It's an international event. We have teams from Canada, and it's a blowout. We have probably last year our bond spiel sold out in about 2 hours. 32 teams sold out in about 2 hours. So it's a great event, great entertainment, great food, and it's just a great place to come and spend the weekend.
So 2 hours, 32 team bond spiel sells out. So if I wanted to sign up for this, if I'm listening to this podcast and want to sign up for something that's that popular, how do I find out about it, and how do I find you guys on the internet?
Well, the information should be on our website. That's tccurling.org. But I'll give you all your listeners a tip. It's out there on the in the cyberspace on our Facebook page. But our registration opens up on December 15th. Is that a Saturday? December 15th, I think, at 9:30 Eastern time. So it's online. You go to the Traverse City Curling Club, TraverseCityCurling.org, and the registration will be open at 9:30 Eastern on December 15th. And we're standing by this year. We had a couple of snafus last year. That's why it took about 2 hours, because we were down for about an hour and 10 minutes. So
you're crashing the internet at this spiel. That's pretty amazing. Well, thank you so much, Don Pichet from the TC Curling Club, for joining us on the podcast this evening. If you want to get your curling club on the podcast, all you got to do is email me at joe@tesn.us. Let me know that you're interested. And thanks for listening. And if you don't, you know what will happen. You'll be sleeping with the fishes.
All right, final segment here on the Extraction Podcast, Episode 9. Appreciate everybody listening as you do, hopefully each and every week. And if you wanted to subscribe, I really hope you'll do that. Joe does too. Hit us up on iTunes, the Apple Podcast app on your smartphone if you are an iPhone user. go to that Apple Podcast app. It is really easy, and just type in the extra, extra end. It will pop right up and hit one button. That button is subscribe, and you will get us right there every single week. Also, if you're an Android user, you can use the Stitcher, Google Play app, other ways to listen. Also, you can just go online, tesn.us/podcast. You can listen to us right there on the 12th In Sports Network's website. So many different ways you can get us, and if you like what we do, I hope you'll give us a rating. 4 or 5 stars we'll take anything you got, because it does make it, the more ratings we get, it makes it easier for us to find, and that is what we are trying to do, is we are trying to grow the game, do our little part here on the podcast. I know the 12th In Sports Network, Joe and BA, those guys, we have, you know, branched out, grown. It's been awesome to see since my short time with them, but it's just been fantastic. As this year, they will be bringing the U.S. Mixed Doubles Championships from the Granite Curling Club in Seattle. So not just nationals, you'll have mixed doubles coming up after we're done in Kalamazoo. So make sure to tune in. But again, tuning in is what you've done, and we appreciate you doing that here every single week. So what's ahead? What we got going on? Well, we got a lot, because the Curling World Cup is going on right now in Omaha, Nebraska. You got the first couple draws that are in the books. Today being Thursday, as I'm recording here on December the 6th, it is the first full day of competition there in Omaha at Ralston Arena. No, it's not the same arena. We were at Baxter Arena last time, just outside the Exarban Village area of Omaha. Baxter Arena was the University of Omaha's main arena. Gorgeous. But this event is taking place at Ralston Arena, taking place there in Omaha. Playing for the Team USA, you got Jamie Sinclair on the women's side. They have not lost. They're 2-0. John Schuster on the men's side, they are 1-1. And then you have Tabitha Peterson and Joe Polo on the mixed doubles end of things. You know, a lot happening there. The way this works is you have two pools. There are four teams. And the way it works is basically you play the team in your pool twice, and then you get points depending on how you win the games. If you win in an extra end, you get less points than you do if you win in regulation. That's basically how it works, is you have Group A, Group B, and then the winner of each group basically plays for the championship. So that's the way it's all set up. Right now, as I mentioned, the United States, believe 1-1 on the mixed doubles side. I didn't have that right in front of me a second ago. What else we got going on? Next week, we got our final slam of that calendar year. We'll be at the Boost National. I'll be there. Jerry Gertz and myself will bring you another podcast there from next week. I don't know who we'll have as far as guests, but I can guarantee I'll bring you a couple good ones. But we will be there in St. John's, Newfoundland. Technically, we will be in Conception Bay, which is about 30 minutes away from St. John's, but we'll be staying a couple blocks off George Street. Man, you talk about fired up. I can't wait for my first experience in Newfoundland. That is going to be something else. I have heard so much about George Street. I've heard so much about the fun. I'm really, really pumped to experience it myself. But you got Curling Night in America coming up, as that is kind of barreling down the stretch. Also, edict, or not so much an edict, but an ask from USA Curling. If you want to help USA Curling unlock some additional funding, they got about $75,000 on the table. And how they can get it from the USOC, they need page views. Go to usacurl.org. You can do it on your smartphone, do it on your laptop, do it on your iPad. Go to usacurl.org. They're looking for web hits. They're about over 35,000 web hits away from now until the end of the year. They need more hits, and if they get 35,000, roughly 35,000 more, that will unlock some key additional funding, and that's certainly that funding. It's not going to high performance related. That's going to helping club development, the growth into things. Going back into USA Curling to help in a myriad of ways. So usacurl.org, go visit them online with all your devices. We need to help them hit 35,000 more page views. So that's going to do it here for Episode 9. Tried to cover a lot, but do it very quickly as I'm flying solo, and flying is what I'm going to be doing tomorrow, headed to Philadelphia to cover the Army-Navy game, and then going straight to Newfoundland for the Boost National, the fourth installment of seven on the Grand Slam of Curling series. But Jerry Gertz and I will be back next week from Newfoundland. I'm sure we'll have some fun stuff on episode 10 next week, but episode 9 now in the books. Appreciate everybody listening. Again, check us out, tesn.us/podcast. You can get everything we do right there. Appreciate everybody listening. Have a great weekend, and most of all, good curling.
Thanks for being with us on this edition of the Extra Extra In podcast with Price Atkinson and Joe Calabrese. Follow the 12th In Sports Network crew on Twitter and Facebook to stay up on our weekly contests, giveaways, guests, and for upcoming episodes of the Extra Extra In podcast.